Can we to turn, please, to Luke chapter 2? And basically what I want to do today is this morning look at this man Simeon, and this evening look at the lady Anna. So we pick up the narrative that the Lord Jesus Christ has been circumcised as according to the law, and Mary and Joseph have presented him to the Lord. And so we pick up the narrative there in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And so we are introduced to this man Simeon, and he's described as a just and a devout man. This was an age, the age in which Simeon lived, it was an age of very, very low spiritual condition. And yet, the Lord has his witness there in this man Simeon. And of course, throughout history, it has always been so. There was Lot in Sodom. There was Obadiah in the court of King Ahab. There was Daniel in Babylon. There was Jeremiah in Zedekiah's court. And right through history, even in the darkest times, the Lord has had his people, and indeed he has them today. You will find the Lord's people in the most worst of places, and in the most darkest of times. There are the Lord's people in Russia. There are the Lord's people in the Yemen. We mustn't forget, although the news is filled with Ukraine, there are wars going on in other countries. There are refugees from many other countries as well. But the Lord has his people amongst them. And possibly, and I believe it true, that he has his people in the most darkest place of all. And that could be Helsham, or Eastbourne, or Bexhill. The Lord has his people today. And it tells us there, this man Simeon was just and devout. Being just means that he was a righteous man. And being devout, it means that he was God-fearing. He was righteous to men. He was devout to the Lord. And Simeon stood out from the society of his time. He was a man of God. It's a bit like Noah. Stood out in his times as a man of God. And as people have since. And hey, that's true for us today, that in our society, corrupt as it is, we need to stand out as men and women of the Lord. And this man Simeon is distinguished because of his walk with God. There were probably many, many people in Jerusalem at that time called Simeon. It was a fairly common name. But this Simeon was a man who was just and devout and walked with the Lord. This Simeon regulated his life and his conduct by the law of God. And the question is how do we measure up when we consider the way that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me read a verse, if I may, from the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16. Then they who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. Those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And this man, Simeon, was an old man. And he was faithful to his old age. What an encouragement that is. There are men, aren't there, in the scriptures who stand out as a witness through their lives. Think of Caleb, 82 years old, and still as strong as ever in the Lord. Daniel went to Babylon as a young man, but he ended up as an old man there, still serving his God faithfully. And what an encouragement for us. Most of us are past our sell-by date. But that's no reason to slack in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, I think, so I was talking to them the other day, and they feel that the nearer they get to glory, the nearer they want to be closer to Christ in this life. You see, talks there of the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, of course, that's the Messiah, isn't it? The Anointed One. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, as it tells us there at the end of verse 25. How do we recognise those who claim to be Christian? I mean, it's a lot of people, isn't it? We read this thing, there are you know, thousands of Christians here, and there are hundreds of Christians there, and there are these people, and those people, and the other people. And how do we recognise them? Because they are indeed everywhere. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a very valuable word in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 7. And verse 16 to 20, we read this. You will know, this is, he's talking about false prophets, but these will be false believers. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorn bushes, or figs and thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And of course we have that verses in Galatians, which gives us the fruits of the Spirit. For every believer. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's how we tell if people are believers. By the way they live. By the way they talk. As there was a talk called "You Walk the Walk and Talk the Talk." And we need to apply that to ourselves. Hey, we need to ask the Lord to fill us with the Spirit of God so that we manifest the fruits of the Spirit. And of course we move on, don't we, in these verses, that we find out that Simeon, with his close walk with the Lord, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he comes into the temple, and there he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Simeon has been promised that he will see the Lord Christ. The Lord Christ is the Messiah, the Lord's anointed. And if you like, Simeon is given divine information from the Lord concerning him. What a wonderful, gracious promise that had been to Simeon. Don't know how long before this event he'd been given it, but how it must have strengthened and sustained this godly man in his witness. And we too are to look to the promises of God. Remember what 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20 tells us. For all the promises of God are yea and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. And we need to apply those promises to our own lives. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. Whatever we're going through, we can claim that promise. He's promised every true child of God a home in heaven. He's been there to prepare a place. He's there now. We need to apply that. When death stalks, as it will do one day, We need to remember this, that Jesus has conquered death, and that because we trust and love him and serve him, and we are his children, we'll be there one day. We need to apply those promises that he gives for witnessing, for discipleship. And there the Holy Spirit is guiding this man Simeon, and he guides him into the temple. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. He didn't just wander in. This is a man who was close to God. This is a man who walked with the Lord. He didn't just turn up hoping, I wonder who's on today. No. The Spirit of God brought him. And do you know, the Spirit of God does that today. Yes, we probably may have decided well before the time that we'd come to the church. But who puts that idea in our thoughts in the first place? Of course, it's the Lord. The Lord brings his people into places of worship. He brings many different people. It's been encouraging to read on some of the websites of those who are working in Ukraine. Hey, the Lord is bringing people into fellowships in the Ukraine. They're hearing the gospel. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was presented according to the law. We read in the book of Numbers, in chapter 18, and verses 15 and 16, everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the first clean of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things, you shall redeem them 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. Going back, we read, don't we, in verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Do you know what a blessing it must have been for this godly old man to hold the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms? Now, those of us who are grandparents, you know what it's like. We all go gaga and silly over grandchildren, and rightly so. What a blessing it is to hold. I can remember going down to, I mustn't digress, I can remember going down to Eastbourne General Hospital when Millie was born. And she was only a few hours old, and because Martin had the children, and so I just went down on the off chance, and let me in, and there was Catherine in a ward on her own, and there was Millie, and she said, have a cuddle. What a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing cuddling all of them, of course it is. But, you know, what a blessing to hold a child like that. And you look down and you see the wonder of God's creation, don't you? I don't know how atheists can hold babies and not be moved, but I suppose they must feel just put together by a few atoms, I guess. What a blessing it is. To think just for Simeon, holding the Lord Jesus Christ close to his heart, to worship God with his heart, and now he had God in his arms, as close as they could come. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope of fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. How close are our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ? We'll never be able to hold him physically, but we could spiritually. To long for him to be there as close as possible. Then we come to the verses 29 to 32. And I'm going to read it today. If you were to, I'm not suggesting you do this, but if you were to attend a service of evening prayer in the Church of England, and you could find one that was used in the Book of Common Prayer, and actually had a service of evening prayer, part of it would be what is called the Nunc Dimittis. And the Nunc Dimittis is verses 29 to 32. I read it from the Book of Common Prayer. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. And then it goes on, or else a psalm to read. So the Nunc Dimittis. It's known as the Nunc Dimittis from the initial words that we would find in the Latin Vulgate version. And apparently the Nunc Dimittis has been used in the church since the 4th century. But let's look at it. Verse 29. Lord, nay, let you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. It's interesting now where he says there, where he says Lord, that first word, it actually means despot. Despot. And what it signifies, the word despot in those days, was it signified complete and absolute authority. In other words, Simeon is God's bondservant, if you like, or his bondslave. There is no appeal. The Lord is the master, and Simeon is the servant. The master is the owner. And what he's saying is, give freedom, let me depart in peace. Give freedom to your slave. He is a slave, of course, by inheritance of purchase. And as Christians, as believers, we too are servants or slaves to our master. He is a sovereign God, and he can do with us as he wills. Now, I'm sure, like myself, you are often perplexed by what happens in the world, in our nation, in our lives, and why this happens, why that happens. Why does the Lord call a missionary to a country and then he dies? We just don't know. But we trust that the Lord knows. He is, in a sense, once we've committed our lives to Christ, we are his to do as he sees fit to do with us. And the more we rebel, the harder it gets. And Simeon wishes to depart in peace. What he means is in peace with God. What a blessing it is to depart in peace with God. He's going into eternity with a full assurance of salvation. And I trust that can be applied to all of us. That eternity awaits for those, well, eternity awaits for all, but for those who love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, there's this wonderful home in heaven awaiting us. And Simeon was able to look death, the face of death, without terror. He knew he was extreme. He knew he was old. He knew he was going to see the Lord. He'd seen the Lord. He'd held the Lord. And now he says, let me go. Let me come to be with you. I wonder, can I look death without any terror? I have to be honest, it's the mode of it possibly that gets me more than what's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, but it's the mode of it. But I know where I'm going to be when it happens. And I know from the moment my eyes close, my heart starts beating and my lungs stop breathing, I know I'll see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I won't have any more concerns or worries after that, will I? And neither will any of us. Matthew Henry, when he's in his commentary on this particular passage, says, How comfortable is the death of a good man? What a blessing it is sometimes to be at the death, by bedside of a believer, as they slip away to glory. A friend of mine who lost her sister some months ago, and she said when the Lord took her home, all the family were there, and the last thing they saw was a smile on her face before she died. What a wonderful testimony, isn't it? A smile on her face before she went to be with the Lord. For Simeon, who is the Lord's bond slave, death becomes emancipation. And the hymn verse that says this, that when my latest breath shall rend the veil in twain, by death I shall escape from death, and life eternal gain. That resurrection word, that shout of victory, once more forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. And all this is according to God's word. We read in 1 Kings and chapter 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised to his servant Moses. And in verse 30 it tells us that my eyes have seen your salvation. You see, salvation has been prepared for Simeon. It's been made ready. It's full, it's complete. And that's for all the Lord's people. Wherever they live, whatever age they live in, it's exactly the same. And then he goes on to talk about what he has done. That a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel. You see, the Messiah is sent not just to Israel, but he's sent to reveal his truth to the heathen world. You see, people are surrounded, aren't they? They're engulfed by and in spiritual darkness. In Romans 1, verse 22, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And of course, the light of Christ dissipates the darkness. What a wonderful verse, chapter 8 and verse 12 is, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, the light of Christ in our lives, it brings in holiness, it brings in joy, and it brings in love. And it tells us there, that in verse 30, that Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, I don't think Joseph and Mary really fully understood the counsels of God concerning salvation. Maybe Simeon gave them a clearer perception of the divine majesty of the child that they had. But then we come to these last two verses. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And here we have the first hint, if you like, of the suffering of the Messiah. He will be the rising, or the falling and rising of many. We read in Isaiah and chapter 8 and verse 15, and many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Some will fall and be bruised. Others will plant their feet on and rise to a higher life. In Luke chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, we read these two verses. Then he looked at them and said, "What then is this written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind into powder." Ultimately, there will be only one thing that matters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2 and verse 16, "To one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" You see, for some people we speak to, we are the savour of life. But to others, we are the stench of death. And doesn't it smell? When we were, where we lived, in one place we lived when we were in the London City Mission, it was a block of three flats, two masonettes and a bottom flat. And the one next door, they had a dead squirrel in the loft. And they didn't know about it, of course. And it began to get worse and worse, and you went in, and it was awful. That smell penetrated everything in that flat, the clothes, the furniture, the lot. The stench of death. It's an awful thing. And that's what we are to some people. And that's what we have to realise when we're involved in any evangelism. That some people will say no in one form or another. And to them we are indeed the stench of death. They can even be nice about their negativity, but it's still the same. But to others, who want to hear what we have to say, want to read what we have to give them, then to them perhaps we've become the saviour of life. And notice there in verse 34, he says that, "And for a sign which will be spoken against." When it means, well, that word sign means, it's a mark to shoot at. In other words, they will be shooting at the Lord Jesus Christ. And didn't that happen? He was attacked after his birth, wasn't he? When Herod tried to kill him, he had to flee to Egypt. He was accused of being illegitimate. His miracles were attributed to Satan. His character was questioned. People lied about him. His resurrection was denied. And of course, people deny his second coming today. But he goes on here to talk about a special sorrow that will come to Mary. "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." That word for sword is for a large one. It's the same word that is used for the sword that Goliath had. You know, it's a massive, pretty big sword. And one's only got to move further on into the Gospels. And we read of her anguish at the cross as she witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. And so, where do we go? Well, we have to ask each other, those of us who are believers, are we sure of these things? Are we sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Saviour? That we have indeed repented of our sins. We have indeed looked in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that as he died there on the cross, he died for our sins in particular. Are we sure that the Bible is the absolute word of God? That God is in total control of our lives? That we indeed have a place assured for us in heaven? Are we seeking to live in a righteous way? That we know that our sins are forgiven, that our sins have been covered, our guilt has been removed forever, and we have an acceptance with God which is absolutely assured. and devout? Do we seek to live as a saved sinner, as a worshipper of the one true God? We need to develop and seek the Lord's help to have a true and right attitude to an almighty and gracious God, dependent on Him. You know, things are going to get very hard, aren't they, in the future? Even for this country, just beginning to think of where we're going and what's happening. And who knows where we'll be in a year's time. If we indeed have a year's time, we need to be totally dependent on Him. Thank Him for all He's done for us, all that He's doing and all that He will do. And when somebody starts going on about the worries, about the war in the Ukraine, now don't minimise it, I'm not saying that at all. But when there's an opportunity to say we have a hope, hope that is steadfast and certain, a hope for the future. And may that be true for every one of us here this morning. Amen.